All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Great Lakes Football Talk. Today, we're going to be doing our NFC South fantasy preview. Before we get into that, we have another special guest here, a fan of the Carolina Panthers, Dan. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell the fans a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get started.
So, name's Dan. I've been a Carolina Panthers fan since they first came in the league back in 1995. I was living in South Carolina at the time. So I've been doing fantasy football for 13 years, and I want to point out that I am the defending fantasy football champion for the frat house.
Yeah, for our redraft league, you are the inaugural champion. Who were you a fan of, or if you were, I don't want to put you on the spot, but were you a fan of anybody before the Panthers moved to Carolina?
You know, my dad and I play Tecmo Super Bowl, and I was always a little fond of the Lions, man. You couldn't stop Barry Sanders and Tecmo.
No, not at all. And Adam, as you know, is another fan of the Lions, and I'm not sure if he has any Tecmo experience there, but everybody knows and loves Barry Sanders, whether you're a Lions fan or not.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of showing my age throwing Tecmo Bowl out there.
Yeah, I don't have too much experience with it either, but I'm a fan of the older video games. Getting into today, before we get into the NFC South, we got some news and notes. I know we haven't had any of the past couple episodes, but a couple of things have happened the past couple of days. The deadline to sign players on the franchise tag has came and went today, and a couple people got their deals. Starting with the Atlanta Falcons and Grady Jarrett, they came to an agreement worth $68 million over 4 years. 42.5 of that is guaranteed. Kicker Robbie Gould was signed to a 4-year, $19 million extension with the San Francisco 49ers. Somebody that did not get a deal, Jadeveon Clowney, the defensive end of the Houston Texans. We'll probably talk a little bit more about him when we do our AFC South podcast. He hasn't signed his franchise tender yet, so he cannot get fined if he does miss mandatory camp. So that's it for the franchise tags. There's been some rumblings as early as today is Ezekiel Elliott threatening to hold out training camp if an extension is not made. He still has about 2 years left on his current deal, and the team is their top priority is quarterback Dak Prescott right now. Do you guys have any thoughts on any of those notes or anything else that's going on around the league?
This thing, you know how I feel about guys that hold out with years remaining left on their contract, and even though, granted, Zeke is being fairly underpaid, he was a top five pick when he was drafted, so he's still making decent money. It's just play out your contract. I mean, Clowney's situation, I understand that for the most part because he isn't technically under contract. I mean, granted, when you get franchise tagged, that means you're, you know, that team's best player that's about to hit the market and they don't want to lose you. But there's also been reports saying that they're not going to sign him to a long-term deal, so I don't even know why they would franchise him. If it was me, I would have traded him last year if the plan was not to keep him around that long. So it's kind of questionable about what Texas is doing management-wise, because it just doesn't make sense. If you're going to franchise a guy, knowing that the end goal of a franchise tag is to be there for a long time, because you want to have the opportunity to franchise him and then have time to discuss a bigger multi-year deal, and with them basically saying that, you know, the plan isn't for them to do that, is just a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, it's definitely another pod in itself. I know we touched a little bit on the tags before and even the just like the last year of their contracts. But Dan, do you have anything on even the Melvin Gordon news, which I haven't really touched on, but Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, or any of the franchise tags that did sign?
You know, since you bring up Melvin Gordon, I'll start off with him first. I think it's kind of interesting with Melvin Gordon because you see a lot of the star running backs, they have been asking for more contract, or, you know, like say with Le'Veon Bell, they've been holding out, and it usually doesn't bode over too well for them once they go into the regular season. And Melvin Gordon, he missed 4 games last year. Chargers were 4-0 without him. You see Todd Gurley, he got his contract extension. He did well, but he got the injury bug in him. And Melvin Gordon is injury prone himself, so the Chargers might be taking, they might be thinking long and hard before they offer Melvin that contract extension. I understand with him, you know, why he wants it, but with Zeke Elliott, he's still got 2 more years left to play out on his contract. So like Melvin Gordon, I don't think he's played a full 16 games, either due to suspension or injury or what have you. but Zeke's not there yet. He's shown himself, but he's got character issues, and if he's not on the field, you can't. Why pay him?
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that the talent when they're on the field is some of the best talent in the league. Zeke could easily be the number one running back, but yeah, they do have to. They got to play out their contracts. I really don't want to get too much into it, but they definitely. I mean, I can see both sides of it. The running back shelf life is so minimal now, and they want to be able to protect themselves and their families and be financially stable. But I mean, at the same time, you did sign that contract, even though it is part of the CBA with the first round being the 4 years with the fifth round option. I don't know. We'll get into it again a little bit later on, not in this show, but definitely some things that we wanted to touch on a little bit. But now to the meat and potatoes of the show. We're going to talk about the NFC South. We started a couple weeks ago. We did the NFC East. Last week was the NFC West. And now we're on to the NFC South here. It's very, very heavy as far as fantasy relevancy. A lot of players here, not just in the first five rounds, but just overall. A lot of sleepers in this division. And we're going to start off with the New Orleans Saints. They're a couple players that they got in the top five rounds going ADP-wise. Alvin Kamara, he's one of the top four running backs. Mix them in and out with Kamara, or with Christian McCaffrey, Zeke, and Saquon Barkley. And then they got Michael Thomas also going up there in the first round, about the 8-9 range. So two excellent players, two players that kind of are the heart and soul of that offense. With Drew Brees there. Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you got on the Saints there.
I love the whole roster. I mean, the only thing that is questionable for them when I look at the roster fantasy-wise and go, well, who do I want to take, is the number two wide receiver on the team. Right now, outside of Michael Thomas, they don't have a set number two. Traquan Smith, I do believe, is a sleeper. You know, he's 6'2". He posted, you know, decent numbers for actually, like, it was like every other game he wasn't doing nothing. But when he was playing, he was actually posting decent numbers, finished his season, and still had a decent rookie season overall for a wide receiver. Because, you know, a lot of wide receivers, they don't do a lot their rookie year. But I'm hoping he takes that sophomore season and does something huge with it. If not, I think he'll be a third-year breakout candidate. He's extremely talented. Watched him in college. But this roster, man, from head to toe is just crazy. Breeze, Kamara, you know, is a first-round pick. Thomas is borderline first-round pick, if not early too. And then I like Latavius Murray as, like, a flex play this year just because he'll go into the Mark Ingram role. And we've seen Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, those two running backs are very, very playable every week, even though they're sharing – well, yeah, you can say sharing the backfield because they both do different things. And it was I'm really glad that Murray went to a spot where basically he already knew what his role would be, because him and Ingram are basically identical players, and they'll do the same thing. And he's somebody I think he's going in like the seventh round, and he'll be a very good flex play, or even start him in a running back position during a bye week. And then I even like the kicker situation. I mean, we haven't talked about a kicker yet, but Will Lutz, he's on an offense that is just dynamic, explosive. He has numerous opportunities for extra points. But, yeah, all the way around is just a great team to try to get fantasy guys from.
Yeah, they definitely have a top-heavy fantasy team. And it all starts with the man under center, Drew Brees, who has thrown multiple 5,000-yard seasons. And that's why you take chances on guys like Traquan Smith. Ted Ginn is there now, too. And if you get points for kick returns and punt returns, special teams points, Ted Ginn could be another player there who's currently really not going drafted in 12-team redraft leagues. Dan, what do you got on the Saints?
Well, as Adam was talking about, Traquan Smith being the number two guy, sure. Cameron Meredith has done it before. He's put up an 800-yard season, but injuries are not letting him. If he's not on the field, you can't make the plays, can't put up the yards. But one thing I like to point out about Drew Brees when I talk about fantasy relevance, last year was the first year since 2005 when he played with the Chargers that he has not touched 4,000 yards. So something to think about right there if you want to draft Drew Brees.
Yeah, he's starting to, I don't want to say that he's fallen off, but he's starting to take a little step back. But they are running the ball a little bit more, too, with the dynamic duo of Kamara and Ingram the last couple of years. And now hoping that Latavius Murray fills that Ingram role. They're still going to be running it, but they still got Michael Thomas. You got to feed him the ball. One of their biggest acquisitions that they got this offseason was Jared Cook coming over from Oakland. I think he's going to be huge. He has an opportunity to be in that kind of that tier two to tier three of tight ends there after Kelsey Gronk or not Gronk, Kelsey Ertz and Kittle. One thing that this whole division that I've noticed while doing my reports here is there's not really a lot of fantasy relevant rookies. The only one that I really got for the Saints here is Alize Mack, the tight end. But I got him more for dynasty. Definitely not somebody that he's going to be drafted. Definitely not somebody that's going to be in a lot of your lineups throughout the year. But if you're in a deep league or a dynasty league, Alize Mack, somebody to look out for. But that all comes down to who kind of takes over the reins after Drew Brees too. So not too much going on there. Will Lutz, you mentioned him, Adam. I do like him too. He plays in the dome at least 9 times. I don't have their whole schedule, but 8 times in New Orleans, and then Atlanta has a dome too. So playing in a dome, that's good for kickers there. We already touched on basically the rest of their offense here. Breeze is going around the 7th round, so it's a little too early where I want to take him when I could be looking at another quarterback we're going to talk about later, a couple rounds later. I'll be happy to get a guy like Michael Thomas at the end of the first if he's there. And then Traquan and Will Lutz both going in the 14th round. Let's start out with you, Dan, with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Any info on them from you?
Jameis Winston. This is a guy that we know can air the ball out. And last year, I believe between him and Fitzmagic that combined, they were the they put up the third most passing yards in the entire league if you put them all together. And Jameis Winston was averaging about 300 yards a game whenever he played. He's also on his last year of his rookie contract. They picked up his 5th year. He'll be making $21 million. And you better believe that he may be playing with a chip on his shoulder. There's no one else that's really behind him that's really going to threaten him. I don't think any of us are really worried about Blaine Gabbert. He shouldn't either, and he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. Losing Humphreys isn't going to be a good thing. He put up some pretty solid numbers, but Godwin is someone else that a lot of people are talking. I mean, you've got the obvious of Mike Thomas, but Godwin is someone that's being drafted right now in around the same place as Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore. And with their running backs, Peyton Barber, he's not 3.7 yards per carry, and Jones is coming in. So Jones, he's put on about 13 pounds of muscle from what I heard, and Bruce Arians is going to be the one. They like to pass the ball to the running backs, so he'll be doing that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't really have a great offensive line, so he'll be there for checkdowns. And with, like I said, with Peyton Barber averaging 3.7 yards per carry, that's not going to get it done. So you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brady, O.J. Howard, I think it is. He's the other tight end. So and they're going to air the ball out. Their defense isn't all that great. They're going to have to put up points if they're going to win games. And Jameis Winston, he's going to be throwing a lot this year.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. O.J. Howard is another one of those tight ends that he's in that next tier after the top three. I'd even put him above Jared Cooks. I see him having a huge year. Jameis Winston, he's been on my radar for the longest time. I've talked on many podcasts about him so far. He's a guy that I've been in all of my mocks. I've been getting him around the 10th round, and I'm perfectly happy with that there. Ronald Jones, I loved him last year until they didn't use him really that much, but I'm going to give him another chance this year, and hopefully Bruce Arians could get the most out of him. You always got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I personally don't like Chris Godwin where he's going. I probably aren't going to touch him that much, but I mean, he definitely has the potential to be, especially being the number two there, to get a lot of those targets that are left from Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson. And probably not going to touch much of Peyton Barber either. But where Mike Evans is going, I'd be happy grabbing him. O.J. Howard, where he's going, I'd be happy grabbing him. Kicker probably not going to do too much there. Cairo Santos and Cameron Bray probably not going to grab him too much either. But Adam, what do you got on the Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, Winston, he's getting drafted, you know, in double-digit rounds. Depending on how my roster is shaped out, if he's there 10th, 11th, 12th round, I might go and grab him because you guys are kind of talking into the reason why he should, you know, blow up this year, even though everybody that listens to this pod knows I was skeptical about him. Running back situation, I'm not touching. Mike Evans, you know what you get out of him. He's just a monster. But I'm more excited about Chris Godwin. I'm a huge fan of his. He's going in the 5th round, like the 21st wide receiver taken. And I think he could just blow up and have a huge year. I mean, you know, wide receivers that are going around him right now are Robert Woods, Kelvin Ridley, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett, DJ Moore, Jarvis Landry, Mike Williams. I like Godwin, honestly, more than I think any of them than maybe Woods. I think out of that group, I think he's probably the second best bet in that group to actually blow up. And I'm a huge fan of him. I have him in our Dynasty League. Redraft leagues, I'm going to look for him, play him every week. And, you know, kicker situation, you don't touch that. And I'm probably not going to go and look for any Cameron Brate stock, but I'll grab O.J. Howard. He's right now he is going early, but, I mean, if Winston, you know, balls out like everybody thinks he's going to, I don't see, you know, no reason why, you know, 3 or even 4 of these targets for him can't be, you know, pretty fantasy relevant.
Yeah, the thing with, like, Godwin and Howard is you kind of got to choose one or the other because they are going around. They're going around each other. And with the group of wide receivers that you mentioned, I think I'd rather take my chances on Howard and then still end up with one of those receivers on the way back in the 6th round. But definitely get some good points there. As far as fantasy rookies, again, like I said, this division really doesn't have much. The only one I really got from them, we don't get dip too much into it, would be Devin White in IDP leagues. The linebacker, he's there was their 5th overall pick there. He's going to have a huge year as a rookie. He's going to pretty much on a defense that's really not going to do too much. He's probably going to be the bright spot there, especially if they're going to be on the field a lot. He could rack up a lot of tackles for you. So Devin White in IDP leagues. Other than that, really no fantasy relevant rookies there. I know they went out. They got a couple wide receivers. One that we're familiar with here is Anthony Johnson from Buffalo, but who knows if he even makes the team. I'm going to be looking for him at camp, but I wouldn't really call him fantasy relevant. Moving on to the Falcons, they're pretty loaded fantasy-wise. They got Julio Jones going in the 1st round, and for all the right reasons, he's arguably the number one receiver in the league. People got him behind Hopkins and Adams, but he's still up there top 3 for sure. Devonta Freeman, who kind of has a little bit of a monkey off of his back with Tevin Coleman going over to San Fran. So the backfield's, if he can stay healthy, it's all his. But they do have some good running backs behind him. So definitely has to watch his back. And then Calvin Ridley going in the 4th round. That rounds out their 5-round ADP. Dan, let's start with you on Atlanta as well.
So Matt Ryan was the 2nd highest scoring quarterback behind the obvious Patrick Mahomes. And he's going 69 currently in Yahoo and 62 in ESPN. And he has never missed a game. Think about that. He's never missed a game at all. And he's thrown for at least 4,000 yards since every season since 2011. And they've got a pretty good offensive line. Calvin Ridley was undeniably the best wide receiver last year, and it wasn't even close. He had 820 yards, which not really a whole lot, but that 10 touchdowns does look really nice. And he's going, like Adam said, he's going around the same area as Godwin. And if you ask me who I'm picking between Godwin and Calvin Ridley, it's going to be him, especially with Julio Jones, who's now 30. And every year, he always seems to pick up some nagging injuries. He continues to go out there and perform, but you got to wonder, when is it going to finally going to take a toll and keep him out for a couple of games? The ultimate disrespect that I'm seeing right now is in Austin Hooper. He was the 6th best tight end in PPR, and he's going in the 15th round of Yahoo drafts and 145th in ESPN leagues.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the rankings kind of skewed because all the tight ends were kind of terrible last year outside of the top 3, but that's definitely something that Austin Hooper is definitely somebody that I would be looking at, especially in this high flying offense. Adam, any thoughts on Atlanta?
I mean, the running back situation scares me just because Devontae Freeman can't stay healthy. And honestly, when you look, even when he was healthy all season, he wasn't putting up, like you would say, elite numbers. And for him going in, you know, round three, it's kind of too rich for me. I like more of a sure bet than any type of gambling situation. But Matt Ryan's a reliable quarterback. You know, Julio, even though, as Dan said, he has some nagging injuries, he still performs. Kelvin Ridley is another young wide receiver I have in a dynasty league. I do think he's going to have a really good season. I'm more excited to wait for when Julio is no longer with Atlanta or he retires, because I think Kelvin Ridley is going to be a superstar. And then, yeah, Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper is, you know, he's reliable for the most part, as we can get with the tight ends not named Kittle, Ertz, or Kelsey. And with him going in, like, the 15th round is just crazy. And other than that, I mean, Ito Smith and then Quanjay Olson, their rookie draft pick this year, it's a toss-up between those two. Wait for camp and see who emerges as a backup. Because Ito Smith, even though he had some good moments last year, he doesn't appeal to me like a guy that could go and be super fantasy relevant or at least have, like, a monster season if he was handed, you know, the ball 15, 20 times a game. So the running game is definitely something to keep an eye on, you know, Freeman's health and who emerges as RB2, because I don't think they're going to feed Devontae Freeman, you know, any more than they ever have with Tevin Coleman in the backfield. So whoever takes Tevin Coleman's spot, I think they're going to have some relevancy too as at least a solid flex play.
Yeah, Quadri Olson is the only fantasy rookie that I have on my list here. And in my notes here, I got him more for dynasty and even a handcuff. But again, it comes down to who's going to take the bulk of the RB2 carries between him and Ito Smith. A guy that we haven't talked about, Mohamed Sanu, he's kind of getting slept on. He's, according to the Fantasy Football Calculator, he is not being drafted in any 12-team redrafts or in the rankings that at least I was looking at. He could definitely be a deep sleeper, somebody to grab there, especially with Matt Ryan throwing the ball there. Matt Ryan going around the same area as a Drew Brees, and between those two, definitely give me Matt Ryan all day, although I am waiting a couple more rounds and hoping for a Jameis Winston or somebody in the double-digit rounds. And then finally, you got Giorgio Tavecchio, their kicker. He's another one that he plays 9 games at least in a dome, outside of the games that aren't in Atlanta or the one in New Orleans. So he's on that high-flying offense. He's definitely a kicker that could get you a lot of points there. Other than that, you guys pretty much touched on everything. I do like Calvin Ridley. I had him. I picked him up last year, and he definitely helped me win some weeks. Julio Jones, if I'm picking at the end of the first round, definitely have no problem grabbing him. Although if like a Joe Mixon or James Conner is there, I'm probably going to be going that direction. Maybe I'll get him. Maybe I'll get Julio on the way back, but definitely some good options there.
Jerry, I've got two final thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons. They are projecting to have two rookies in their offensive line. And with their defense, I believe that they gave up 26 points a game. And they're kind of in a situation like how the Saints were, where they have a high-powered offense, but their defense wasn't quite there. So if they're going to give up 26 points a game again like they did last year, they're going to have to air the ball out and do what they can to score points. And like you said with Mohamed Sanu, he's a guy for someone who got 800 yards last season to not get drafted. That's someone to keep an eye out on the waiver wire, because if either Calvin Ridley or Julio Jones goes down, that's someone you want to keep your eye on.
Yeah, and this is one of those few offenses where even be comfortable starting one of those three. I mean, they're arguably up there with the Rams as one of the best trios in the league for wide receivers. But Sanu isn't really getting the recognition that the guys from the Rams are getting, and then Calvin Ridley and Julio's getting. So, but those two rookies, Chris Lidstrom and Caleb McGarry, starting on the right side, that could either be really good or that could be really bad for the run game and hopefully keeping Matt Ryan up straight. But we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. The offense, the talent is there. The high scoring potential is there. So definitely see what happens there. And they got their big man in the middle, Grady Jarrett. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, he's locked up for 4 years, making a lot of money.
And they are trying to work on Julio's contract extension right now.
Yeah, that's been all over the news, all over NFL Network too. Julio's not too worried about it. Doesn't seem like it's going to distract him at all. So hopefully he just goes out there and just plays like Julio Jones can play and maybe put some more touchdowns up on the board, because that's the one thing that he has been lacking the past couple of years. Moving on to your team, Carolina. They're another one of those teams that has one of the top four running backs, Christian McCaffrey. He's going around pick three. Kind of could be interchanged with Kamara, Zeke, and Barkley. And then just rounding out the top five rounds, they got DJ Moore slipping into the fifth round at about 5'10". The wide receiver there taking over the number one role with Devin Funches gone and Calvin Benjamin gone a couple of years ago. I do like DJ Moore a lot this year. Dan, we'll get you started. Actually, no, Adam, we'll get you started there, and then Dan can kind of nail it home.
Yeah, Chris McCaffrey, you know what you're going to get when you get him. He's probably, if you want to bet on anybody getting the 1,000 rush yards, 1,000 receiving yards, basically any season, he's the man you put the money on. DJ Moore, I do like him. He had a great rookie season, first-round pick. I now that he's the clear-cut number one, you could argue he was the number one basically from the get-go. Devin Funchess, he was there, but he was very underwhelming. You know, even with Funchess being there, 55 catches, almost 800 yards, two touchdowns, which definitely I can almost guarantee that will come up. And he should be a solid wide receiver too for any of your teams. Keeper, you can't do wrong keeping him if you have a larger keeper selection. Curtis Samuel is someone that I also think is going to take a huge leap into year three. You know, his rookie year, he only had 15 catches, and then last year he went to 39. I mean, he's an explosive slot guy. I could expect, 60 catches, 700 yards, and he had 5 touchdowns last year. I can expect him to at least duplicate that, if not maybe have 6 or 7 touchdowns. So you can definitely get him at a decent value and someone that you can possibly start at your wide receiver 3 or even flex spot. And then Greg Olsen, I love Greg Olsen. I've been a big fan of his. He needs to stay healthy. You can't play a guy in fantasy if you can't stay on the field, and that's a problem. You know, if there's any sort of injury buzz going around about Greg Olsen, if you're in drafts, spend one of your last picks on Ian Thomas. He did perform well in the time that he got when Greg Olsen was off the field. So, with the way this tight end group is outside of the big three, Ian Thomas, if he gets in there and, he gets to start for 3, 4, 5 weeks, he could potentially be one of the bigger tight end threats within that period of time.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm glad you brought up Ian Thomas. He's – even with Greg Olsen, I think, on the field, I think Ian Thomas has potential to be a serviceable tight end. I mean, obviously, if Greg Olsen's out there, I don't think Ian Thomas is going to crack like the top 12, top 15 or anything like that. But, I mean, with the tight end position just being so unpredictable, and hopefully we don't have a repeat like last year. Hopefully there are more tight ends this year that definitely are fantasy worthy, and a guy that plays half the season isn't in the top 12 or whatever. Hopefully it's more than that. But Ian Thomas definitely has a potential there. Dan, what do you got on them on your team? And you can spend as much time as you want on them.
All right, thanks. So Ian Thomas, like you guys keep saying, he was the tight end that we drafted last year, 333 yards. So if Olsen does get hurt, he is going to be the guy. There's really no one else there that's going to threaten that. So I wouldn't worry about it. Carolina Panthers, wow. Started 6-2, then the Steelers blow them out 52-21. And that was the beginning of the end right there, because that was the first of the 7-game losing streak. But think about this. They lost 5 of those games by a touchdown or less, or 3 games by a field goal or less. So let's talk about the Carolina Panthers defense. A couple years ago, they were one of the best. Then they dropped down. They're mediocre. They can get, teams weren't afraid to throw on them, because Josh Norman's gone, but Dante Jackson was one of the runners-up for the Defensive Player of the Year, and James Bradbury is pretty good too. Another guy named Eric Reed, He is coming back. The D line is, but the D line is where we've really made the most improvements. You sign Bruce Irving, and we snatched Gerald McCoy away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we got Brian Burns to come in there and take the role where Thomas Davis was. So you've got Shaq Thompson, Luke Newcomb, and you got Brian Burns. We don't know what to expect of him because he's a rookie, but if he's anything like he was at Florida State, we could have another great linebacking core right there. But that defense right there could potentially be a top 10 defense. Offense, there's nothing else that we need to say about Run CMC. Some interesting facts about DJ Moore is that he didn't get more than five looks until week 7 when he played against Baltimore. And from there on, he got 597 of his 788 yards of the year right there. But there is one thing about DJ Moore that people should know. There were four games where he had 20 yards or less. So a little inconsistent. He could be a hit or miss guy. Now, Adam talked about one of the first people he talked about was Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel, his first year when we got him out of Ohio State, was going to be – he's a speedster, still is, but he goes down fairly early on with a season-ending injury. So last year he comes back. He's still a little hurt, but he finished strong, and he got 298 of his 494 yards in the last five games that he played. So – he could be one of those guys that there's going to be no doubt that he and DJ Moore are going to be the deep threats. And then you got the addition of Chris Hogan, who's going to be going through the middle now as well. But Curtis Samuel, he's someone that you should keep an eye on. And especially if DJ Moore goes down, Curtis Samuel is going to be one of those guys. He could put up some big numbers. And Cam Newton, as it stands right now, is going to be, he's fully expected to be in training camp. And, oh, by the way, if you want to know what's going on with Cam, you got the Amazon Prime All or Nothing for Carolina Panthers that'll be starting on the 19th.
All right, a lot of good stuff there. A couple guys that weren't mentioned. I don't know if there are any fantasy relevancy at all or not, but just near the top of their depth chart, they got Torrey Smith and Jarius Wright. And you mentioned Chris Hogan. I was going to bring him up too, but you kind of slipped him in there a little bit. Their offensive line kind of took a little bit of a I wouldn't even call it a hit, but they did kind of remodel a little bit. Matt Paradis was one of the top prized free agents this year, and it was kind of between the Jets and the Panthers, and the Panthers ended up landing him, so they got a nice young center there. Drafted Greg Little in the second round. A couple guys on defense that you didn't mention, you already mentioned Brian Burns, but Christian Miller, the linebacker out of Alabama, he could be a very good rotational guy. Definitely, he was somebody that I was hoping Buffalo would kind of grab because we do need linebacker help, but he ended up landing with the Carolina Panthers. And then Dontari Poe, you mentioned that the Carolina Panthers kind of revamped their whole defensive line and add him to it too. So definitely some big upgrades there, and they could have a huge defensive year. I definitely see it. Just looking on paper, they definitely have a defensive unit that could be near the tops of the league. Pretty much touched on everybody else as far as any fantasy relevant rookies outside of Brian Burns in IDP leagues. Elijah Holyfield, probably wouldn't put too much stock into him. More of a handcuff, but even then, they still have Cameron Artis Payne there. So I don't know who's really going to – it'd probably be a committee if C-Mac does happen to go down. The one that I'm kind of intrigued into is Will Grier, quarterback. And I'm not really a handcuff, a quarterback kind of guy, but he is a guy that if Cam does go down and they want to just give the reins over to Will Grier, it'd be his offense there. How much would I trust him? I don't know. It's hard to say, but like maybe long-term, and Cam's still, he's not old. He's still young. So I don't see him ever taking over in the long run, but it's just more for injury purposes there. Wilger is definitely a guy to look out for. Do you want to add anything on any of those guys I just mentioned?
Taylor Heinicke is the guy that came in and took over whenever Cam Newton went down. I would just keep an eye on training camp to see what happens with the quarterback situation. And likewise with the running back situation, there's Christian McCaffrey, and we've had Cameron Artis Payne there for a while. He hasn't really seemed to do too much. But if Christian McCaffrey goes down, that running back field is going to be wide open, but expect Cameron Artis Payne to be the lead guy. And yeah, Torrey Smith, he only got 190 yards last year. So, and Jarius Wright got 450. So, Jarius Wright would be the number four guy, I think.
Adam, you're going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Holyfield, too. He's a son of former boxing legend, Xander Holyfield. But, man, Elijah, he's a bulldozer. When he was with Georgia, you couldn't bring him down the first time you touched him. I mean, you actually had to gang tackle to get him down. And I think he's something that the Panthers need to be even more successful, because with Cam's, past injury and even current injury, you can't be having him running around and doing all that stuff anymore. And I don't think McCaffrey, even though he did look, I've seen pictures of him in the offseason, it does look like he put on some weight. I don't know if you want to have him, just constantly pounding the rock and getting, all those touches per game that he gets, not even, not only on the ground, but through the air. If they want like a bulldozer, short yardage, goal line back, I think Holyfield could actually, if he wins a job in camp and makes his team, I think he can do it. I mean, he's such a tough runner. And I think he could be a valuable asset. Maybe not particularly fantasy wise this year, but definitely in real life. And who knows if he does well enough and they give him a decent chunk of, short yarder stuff to at least keep McCaffrey fresh, he could have occasional flex play value.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that we could agree on, if Christian McCaffrey does go down, I think that kind of just hits the whole Carolina Panthers offense as a whole. I mean, if C-Mac is missing any amount of time, I don't really know if there's anybody in that offense that I would trust, because it's all going to be kind of shade over to DJ Moore, cover him, kind of shade over to Curtis Samuel, cover him. There's really not going to be too many threats there. Going into DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, you got Curtis Samuel going about five rounds later than DJ Moore for a similar player. I know you guys both like DJ Moore a lot. I do too, but getting into the fifth round, we've already mentioned that O.J. Howard was going around there, and we mentioned that Chris Godwin was going around there. You only have so many fifth-round picks to be able to grab one of them, so kind of got to choose between them and all the wide receivers that you mentioned earlier, Adam. So why not wait a couple more rounds and get Curtis Samuel? Their kicker, I mean, Graham Gano, yeah, he is a good kicker, but it's really going to – it all depends on how the offense is going to be. I mean, obviously the offense needs to be able to move the ball in order for you to get points from your kicker. So not too sure how I feel about that. Definitely other kickers that I'll be targeting. Anybody outside of Carolina, or just anybody that we haven't touched on that you guys can think of, or any other last notes?
Well, one thing I do want to, especially since we have Dan here, because I don't talk to too many people that actually are into the Carolina Panthers, but Cam is changing his throwing motion. Do you think that's going to have any effect at all for anybody, and not even in real life, but fantasy as well?
Well, if for Cam Newton, obviously the goal is to keep him in the pocket or just scramble around. You don't want to keep him running around. It'll be interesting to see, that's for sure. I know that he was setting the world on fire with the new offensive coordinator that we had last year. His name, this is bad. His name is escaping me right now, our offensive coordinator. But Cam was doing wonders before he got hurt. What's that?
North Turner.
Yes, North Turner. Thank you. What would really concern me is the domino effect of Christian McCaffrey going down, because that's 326 touches right there. And if we have no running back, Cam is going to do what he has done before. He's going to try to be the lead guy in the rushing game. And you don't want him to keep getting hit. And that could be a bad domino effect if he tries doing that. But I don't think there's going to be any problems. Cam's a good quarterback. His accuracy has always been one of the things that people talk about. He's never really been like a 60% guy. So maybe the new accuracy could help him out. It probably can't do any worse.
So one thing that we haven't really talked about too much, but we have mentioned it for each of these teams, is the defense. And none of the other three teams, the Saints, the Bucks, or the Falcons, really have a a top scary defense while the Carolina Panthers do. Do you think that's enough to, your unbiased opinion, do you think that's enough to kind of carry them to the top of the division or get a wild card spot or something like that with all the high-powered offenses that's in the division?
Yes, I absolutely do. Because like I said, they were doing really good until they got blown up by the Steelers. And then after that, it was just – everything was just in their heads. They lost seven games in a row in very, very close games. And this is something, as a Panthers fan, I've seen it so many times before where they have one season where they go – they're very mediocre. They lose a lot of close games. They lose a lot of close games. They come back the next year, and they seem to have put it together. You get another year with Norv Turner, who is one of the best offensive coordinators. Carolina Panthers are going to score points, and that defense, as long as they're not hurt with, you know, shadowed with injuries. Eric Reed came in halfway during the season, and he was starting to make an impact. Dante Jackson, James Bradberry is our cornerbacks right there. Our nickel cornerback, I'm not too sure what's going on right there. But we'll see. That linebacking core and that defensive line right there is very, very scary. And Kawan Short, Poe right there in the middle, Addison. Kawan Short was Pro Bowler last year. Addison, Bruce Irving, that defense right there is very scary.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's definitely going to be one of the more fun divisions to watch. It's always fun when any of these two teams get together, whether it's a Thursday night game, Sunday night game, just a regular game during the Sunday, during the day. These guys or these teams are – they're always high-powered, high offense, and fun to watch, and they always put on a good show. Adam, do you have anything, any players that you might have missed that you could think about or anything before we close out the show?
No, it's going to be a fun division. I mean, until Breeze, Cam, and Matt Ryan retire, you can't go into the season predicting who's going to be the division winner. I mean, every year it seems like it's you know, a new team. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, I know you probably don't want to hear this, Dan, but I have the Saints actually winning the Super Bowl this year. So I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
Definitely going to be fun to watch, and we do appreciate you coming on. Before we close up today, we got a lot of stuff going on on the Fantasy Football Fraternity page. Dan's putting out some articles. We got a lot of polls going on every day, so definitely check that out. It's starting to get closer and closer to draft season. We keep on saying it, but it's coming. We got mocks going up. We got different just different things going up. It's really hard to explain what's going on, but just check us out, Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook. Adam, anything you want to add to that?
No, and the draft guide, we're working hard to get that published very, very early in August. So that's the plan right now, and we're definitely putting a lot of time into it. And, man, now we're just basically going to start writing all these little notes for all our rankings now.
Yes, working really hard on the draft guide. Dan, we appreciate you coming on, and we hope to get you on again sometime.
Thanks, and one other thing, Adam mentioned what we were working on right there, and one of the pieces that I hope to put out. It was very fun for me. I spent a lot of hours doing it last year. I'd like to repeat it again this year, doing a comparison of where people are going in Yahoo rankings versus ESPN rankings. It's always a fun thing, and I know a lot of people kind of go between ESPN and Yahoo. Which one is better is up to your opinion, but it's a fun thing, and I hope people will get to enjoy that again this year.
Oh, we definitely will. If I could add one thing to that, there's a lot of people actually switching over to Sleeper. So when you are doing that, maybe you look into where people are going on Sleeper and throw that in there, because that's becoming a very popular site. And I know we have a couple of leagues on there, but Sleeper, I've grown to like that site. I've grown to like this is our first year doing the league, but just getting all the news from there and checking out the platform. It's awesome. So if you want to check that out too and see if you could get any rankings from there, definitely throw that into your rankings too.
Absolutely.
All right. So we got the NFC North next week, and we'll see you next week.